in the red corner.
A lot of respect paid to Blake. He marks and walks. Oh! Empty. And now he's head rolling. Can he put it through for a goal?
Why not in the blue corner?
Outside of 50. Bangs it on the chest. Knocks a fortune. And Wallace's mark.
Let's get it.
On Hungry for Sport, it's time to recap the weekend's action with Martin Blake and Terry Wallace. It's the Weekend Siren.
It's the Weekend Siren, and we've got the $100 Concave boot voucher, of course, the official boot of the Geelong Football Club. We've got beautiful Bataki hams and the champion collectors football cards, of course, including the album. Also, the posters on sale now. And also, we've got the dining vouchers, the Vito Stone Bar and Grill. We've got a bunch of great prizes to give away to our best callers as we welcome Martin Blake and Terry Wallace. G'day, Gazelle.
Kev, how are you?
I'm going great, Terry.
Hello, KB, Martin. Another great week of footy.
It was. I mean, you look at the two games between, Frio and Sydney and Hawthorn and Port, and you're looking at four of the best teams in the comp. And then yesterday, I think all three of us go to Etihad and we see the Bulldogs, who are really, really coming. I mean, I just wonder whether the Bulldogs can push up and maybe get in the finals. Is it possible?
Well, it's possible. Of course it's possible. I mean, anything in this competition is possible. And if you play with the spirit that they had, and I heard you earlier on in the morning, KB, speaking about the Doggies, if you play with that sort of spirit, you play with an attack on the opposition. They're not allowing opposition sides to actually get settled to play the style of game that they want. And when they were playing their best football yesterday, the attacking flair that they played with was brilliant, but they're actually stopping the opposition as well. I mean, Adelaide at one stage, I think it was late second quarter, were kicking the ball at about 35% efficiency. So that was the pressure that the Doggies were putting on. So I think they're getting both sides of it right. The pressure and the ability to press sides is great, but then you're getting the offensive flair and run and carry as well. So it's a great brand of footy to watch.
I'd like to hear from the fans. Give us your post-match assessment of your club, 9429 1116 04 3398 1116. I want to pose a question. What's going on at the Gold Coast? I reckon every media commentator would have had the Gold Coast in their top eight. They're 0-4 at the moment. Got belted by 11 goals by the Giants on the weekend. Now, obviously, Rodney Eade was selected as coach to put the icing on top of the cake. Blue McKenna, done a great job, got the kids so far, but hasn't got that X factor, can't go the next step. Get up the tried and true experienced coach, Rodney Eade, from the Bulldogs and Sydney Swans, and, of course, director of football at Collingwood, just to give them that hard edge. 0-4. Now, could their culture be that bad, or the standards that bad, that all of a sudden they're 0-4? If they get beaten by Brisbane this weekend, they'll be 0-11 by the time we get to the halfway mark, because after Brisbane they play the Crows, then they play West Coast in Perth, then Collingwood, Hawthorn, Sydney Swans and Fremantle. They'll be 0-11, the Gold Coast. What's going on with football in Queensland? Brisbane can't win a game. The Suns can't win a game.
Well, first of all, with Gold Coast, I agree with you that they're the disappointment of the year because I think I had them sixth. I thought they'd go push right up into the eight. Look, this is their fifth year. They won three games, eight games, then 10 last year. We all know that they lost Ablett at the end of the year to the shoulder injury. Otherwise, they probably would have made the finals. So I guess we just extrapolate that out, and it just doesn't necessarily work that way. I think the board would be feeling very uncomfortable having made a harsh decision on Bluey McKenna, brought Rocket in, and as I said, I think last week, you just wonder from a distance whether Rocket coming in as a tried and true coach, is the graft working? Is that situation working? From the outside, it looks like maybe not at the moment. Now, that might change, but it needs to change in a hurry.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable what's happened to this footy club. And along the way, I mean, we get to round one, and I think we all believe that Matera is a really good player. Can't get a game. We get to round two, McKenzie gets omitted from the side. He looks a fine player from the outside. So they've got players there that we believe have got real ability that are not playing up to that ability as well. Zach Smith is getting slaughtered in the ruck. I mean, he's a big, strong guy that I think most of us would have thought 2 or 3 years ago, give this kid 3 or 4 years as a senior ruckman and he's going to be a serious player. He's getting flogged, absolutely flogged in the ruck week in and week out. And the other thing for me with the Gold Coast Suns, To me, they seem to have too many outside players. They don't have enough guys who actually win their own football. So And this gets back to the Gary Ablett thing. Jager O'Meara obviously out as well, who I think's probably their best of their young players. But they haven't got enough guys who actually go and win their own football. They all want to get it on the overlap and get it on the outside. Footy's not played like that. You just can't get away with playing that style of football.
But last year they were an exciting side to watch. They did win 10 games and, you know, just crumbled a bit at the end without Ablett's leadership. They've only ever won one game without Gary Ablett. But they haven't even got that run, that excitement that they had where they'd take on the opposition. I mean, the Giants on the weekend belted them by 11 goals.
How good does it make Gary Ablett look, Martin? Because the last 6 weeks of last year, they weren't that either. I mean, the last 6 weeks, they were playing the type of footy that they're playing now. They're getting belted by the West Coast Eagles and sides like that. Seriously belted. So
it's actually pretty damning, that record, isn't it? It's damning on the rest of the players that they can't fire a shot without Gary Ablett, as great as he is. There's no team that can rely so heavily on one player like that. Because, you know, if he breaks down or someone finds a way to shut the guy down, you know, it's just too much reliance on one player.
What's been the biggest surprise of the season so far for you? I reckon the demise of the Gold Coast has been my biggest surprise. We'll take a couple of early calls. Darren joins us from Caroline Springs. G'day, Darren.
Guys, how are you?
We're going great. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. Take me cool. Kev, just on the weekend's results, I'm a Hawthorne man, but I was actually really excited looking at the ladder this morning, have a look at GWS up there and the Doggies up there. I think we've seen too much of the Geelongs and Hawthorns and the like for the last 5 to 7 years. And I think it's really exciting for the competition to see these bottom sides coming through the ranks now and challenging the top eight sides. Well, just on the Gold Coast, I just question whether the decision with getting rid of Bluey was the right one. I think the disciplines that he put in place compared to what Rocket E does is a generational difference there. And have the players accepted Rocket E as their coach?
Well, Martin,
time will tell.
Martin, I'd like to throw this one at you. And to me, this has got nothing to do with Rodney E because the body of work at the moment's not enough for me to be making any decisions on where Rocket sort of sits. But did they make the right decision on Bluey McKenna? And who makes a decision to say that Bluey McKenna can't take them to the next level where they want to go? Number one, they'd never been to the level. Number two, he'd never had the opportunity of getting to that level. So who makes a decision to say that guy whose graph was continuing to go up can't take them to a level that none of them have ever been to?
Well, we saw at the end of last year, you know, a couple of clubs jump, didn't we? We saw Sanderson go from Adelaide and obviously Bluey McKenna. So they're very quick to move those boards.
And the Bulldogs
as well with Brendan McCartney. So three clubs really jumped very early on their coaches. And you have to wonder.
Yes, but Adelaide bounced out of the blocks with
both
the new coach.
Two have responded,
you know, won the first three games, got beaten by the Bulldogs yesterday.
And clearly what's happened with the Bulldogs, now you sit back and look at it. And again, I'm not saying anything about the coach that's left this time around, but clearly there was something not working in the mix at the Bulldogs, and now there's a breath of fresh air there. They actually look like they're playing with freedom.
But so Luke Beveridge comes in, improves the Bulldogs. They're playing some very good football, winning three of the first four. Rodney goes to probably the most celebrated of those two sides, Adelaide and the Bulldogs, and they're 0-4 and getting absolutely smashed by the Giants.
And you believe that...
I don't know what's gone on with the Gold Coast. I was very surprised when they played Melbourne in the opening game. Had five new players on that day. I mean, that's like being in their first or second year when they were having five and six changes per week.
KB, and you think it can get worse for them because the draws...
0-11 they'll be if they don't beat Brisbane.
Oh, jeez.
They'd be 0-11. Brisbane are not very good, as we know, but... tell you what, you wouldn't be too confident of the Gold Coast Suns beating Brisbane. I think it's at Metricon, but, you know, Queensland football's in a lot of trouble. Ken's in Tarnit. G'day, Ken.
I want to talk about Jack Crisp. Not a lot was made of him when the trade went down with Dane Beams. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty, but he has been really good for Collingwood this year.
I tell you what, they've lost some good players like that, haven't they? You know, we saw Yeo and Doherty, they've gone to other clubs and Pollock is gone, so they've lost some players, the Brisbane Lions, and Jack Crisp, Crisp. I saw him on the weekend. He's a very good-sized kid, good body, and had some good roles.
Yeah, switched on to Dyson Heppel when Heppel was causing them some damage. So, look, he's got a two-way game. Their development and their recruiting in the last few years seems to me to have been pretty good. And you look at that game over the weekend and you've got a 23-year-old seedsman wins the medal. You know, Chris plays well. Taylor Adams plays well. You know, Jamie Elliott's a good young player, so 22 years old. So
you got Darcy Moore on the sidelines. I know he did a hamstring on the weekend, but you got him.
And
Sharon Berg we haven't seen yet. So there's still plenty of improvement there.
There's a bit of depth there. I mean, Fasolo's playing in the reserves at the moment as well. I think he's, you know, he's...
Jordan Degoe is going to be a very, very good player as well. So there's three number one draft picks that we virtually haven't seen yet.
I think Degoe played very well in the VFL at the weekend.
Oh, he's going to be a good player. You know, it's just time.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from Richmond fans. Haven't heard from Trout today, which is very, very disappointing. And also Melbourne fans, because Jesse Hogan was terrific on the weekend. And they did play pretty well the week before against Adelaide. But I'd like to hear from Richmond fans. Give me a bit of hope. I need a bit of hope myself now. I'm tossing up whether or not Richmond can even beat Geelong
next week. Melbourne bashed them up. They just bullied them. They were just too tough for them. Richmond's coach, I mean, Damien, said it after in the press conference. They just didn't want to fight the fight. And when it became hard and it needed to become a little bit tough and nasty, they didn't want to fight the fight. Gee, I thought they were disappointing.
Why would they
not
want to fight
the fight? I don't
think
that's their history either. I think they've been okay in that area over the last couple of years. So that's a bit unusual. But look, you know, maybe Ty Vickery comes back into the side if Griffiths can't play this week. That'll be interesting.
Well, we're talking about records with one player out of the side and Gary Ablett and the Gold Coast record. Have a look at Richmond's record without Brett Deledio in the side, and it's pretty ordinary as well. I think it's something like they've won 1 of 13 when he hasn't played. So it's really poor.
Yeah.
A lot of Carlton supporters saying they're very excited about Patrick Crisp.
Cripps,
I should say. There's two of them running around. Well, apologies there.
KB, now, Carlton got rewarded by playing youth. Why didn't they play Cripps in the round one? Where was Buckley early in the season? They might have been injured, so I'm not suggesting that they weren't necessarily available. I think Cripps was an emergency the first week. All of a sudden, you play these kids, and they give you a bit more spirit.
Buckley was good.
He was fantastic. His run and carry off halfback was outstanding. Cripps over the last couple of weeks is just getting better and better. That's the best game Cripps has played for them. He was excellent.
Well, he's that sort of tall running midfielder.
A bit strong body, too.
He's a big guy, you know, yet he plays on the ball. He can find the ball, and then he kicks for, you know, Tom Bell as well, you know.
Tommy Bell, that's the best game I've seen Tommy Bell play. Certainly those two guys.
I think he's good.
And sometimes, again, KB, we said it with the Bulldogs, all of a sudden you have a few injuries or a few people leave your football club and it gives opportunity to other guys. Chris Judd going out just for a week all of a sudden allowed more midfield time for guys like Cripps and Bell, and all of a sudden they take that opportunity, they grasp the opportunity that's given to them. So I thought they got good reward for playing a few younger boys.
And the great McCarthy, he's a fine player, isn't he?
He's a good player for
the Giants.
He's an unusual looking player. He looks a bit ragtag sort of a guy, but
bit of arms and legs and all that sort of stuff.
Usually he's not the most graceful sort of player you'd see, but he can get it done.
Well, he's kicked five goals.
They've got a serious sort of forward half scoring power. I think
they might have a serious side. Yeah. We'll take a break. We're coming back and we'll take your calls. Got a bunch, as I say, great prizes to give away, including the Concave boot voucher. That's worth $100 and off to Vito Stone Bar and Grill. Got the $50 voucher there. Also, we've got the beautiful Bataki Australian leg of hams, of course, available from Willie's and Coles. And we've got games of golf at Keysborough and also got the footy cards as well. 9429 1116. Coming back with Plough and, of course, the great man Gizzo.
So I see Nathan Jones as a really good leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, a club that's had so much turmoil over a period of time, who wasn't pushed up as the leader first up, who just through his own deeds and actions on the ground ended up just making himself the leader of the club, had no other choice bar to make him the leader of that group. I think he's doing a great job with Melbourne.
Emerging with it, Newton for the Demons. He was tackled, slapped it backwards. Jones under the boot, the skipper! Nathan Jones kicks the goal.
That was a great goal he kicked to against the Tigers. Pretty good, Melbourne. I saw him the week before against Adelaide. In fact, I saw their first three games of the season. But against Adelaide, tough conditions over there. Got him ready for the game on Thursday night, on Friday night, I should say. But they handled it very well. They're a tough unit at the moment. Got some big-sized players they brought in. Vandenberg's a big-sized kid. Newton's a good size.
Well, if you want to play tough footy, And the brand that Paul Roos has always been known for is, you know, strong accountability, you know, start it from defence and then work on the attacking start of the game. It's all very well to be playing that sort of footy, but you've got to have tough blokes to play tough football. And what he's done is he's gone out and recruited tough guys. Cross comes to the club, really physical. I coached Crossy when he was young. The one thing you know about Crossy, put his body on the line all the time. Bernie Vince, I wouldn't have thought that Bernie Vince was particularly known as a tough player beforehand, but under Paul Roos's coaching, I mean, they've really turned that around to become one of his strengths. They bring in Brayshaw as a first-round selection. Super tough, probably the number one inside player in last year's draft. Hogan, physical, tough, plays like a man. Viney a couple of years ago, super tough kid. Dom Tyson, always been a ball winner. Go and win your own ball. Vandenberg, you just spoke about. They're all physically tough guys, the guys that they've actually gone out and gotten. If you're a Melbourne supporter, how fantastic is that? You've had this sides that have laid down, sides that have been getting flogged by half time. Whether this side's a really good side or whether they're not, Martin, the one thing as a Melbourne supporter, you're going to go along, they're going to fight for you, and that's, I think you'd be wrapped as a Melbourne supporter.
Yeah, you can't ask for any more than that. 100% effort, and you're absolutely right about Nathan Jones. I mean, he's won three best and fairest in a row, and for some reason, KB, he's taken a little while to get his due respect, I think, and it's coming now, and it has come now. Certainly within the club, he's highly respected. But they didn't choose him as captain. I mean, they jumped over him and went to Trengove.
Grimes.
And Grimes as captain a few years ago. And I remember at the time Nathan Jones' name coming up, but they overlooked him, you know, and then eventually he's worked his way through. So he is terrific. And Roosie's doing a pretty good job down at Melbourne.
And just watching yesterday, you'd have to ask yourself how Robert Murphy hasn't been captain of the Bulldogs.
Well, that's another
this
example.
They might have won a couple of flags.
Well, they gave it to Ryan Griffin because he was probably the best player at the time, but he wasn't the sort of, what would you say, he was a very quiet, shy sort of individual who liked to get away from the footy when he wasn't playing. So they gave it to someone who didn't, probably deep down, didn't really want it, and overlooked someone like Murphy, who's Bulldog through and through, could have left the club and gone to a more successful club at different times. I mean, imagine if he put himself on the market, you know.
This is what Luke Beveridge, the coach, had to say about Bob Murphy yesterday after their win.
I really rated Murphy, as I think everyone does, as a player. I've got to know him a little bit since I've been at the club, the character of the man, and we're really fortunate, as I've said in recent times, that he's our leader and our figurehead, and his contributions on and off the field can't be underestimated.
No, it's surprising.
Not good enough to get three votes in Herald Sun. Ralphie?
He only got two votes.
That is
ridiculous. Did he only get two votes?
None.
How many? What?
None, Plough. No, that's a sting for Ralphie.
I thought he was best on the ground.
I agree.
I thought he set everything up.
KB's just looking flummoxed.
I can't believe that.
Well, there was some
good... Buzz did not give Bob Murphy a vote yesterday.
You have to have a chat to him.
No.
Okay, Laurie's from Mount Martha. G'day, Laurie.
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Just a Tiger man, mate, and I've been following for 10 years at home games, and look, this year we've treated Footscray with disrespect. We come up against Melbourne. The coach said we didn't come to play. Hurley said we didn't come to play against Footscray, which I found very strange and odd. And I just think we're slow, we're soft, and we're selfish. We've got blokes that just want to get the easy kick over the top. Good finishes. We've got some good blokes that'll put their hand up after they've kicked an easy goal. But, gee, we've got some boys there that have played nearly 100 games, and they're not standing up when we need them.
KB, the disappointment from the Tigers to me was the fact that they had a really soft early draw. They had four games that you would have expected that they could very easily be zipping four. Now, they turn it 2-2, and it just puts them under real pressure now.
Yes, I think most people thought, looking at the draw before the start of the season, they'd win the first four games. Laurie, I don't understand how you can say we didn't turn up to play. I mean, Richmond are not that good. I mean, Hawthorn might say, you know what, we had a bit of a off day. We didn't quite, you know, focus today. We've won two premierships on the trot and we're going for a third. And somehow along the way, you know, this game didn't seem to be important to the players. But every game's important to everyone down at Richmond, surely. So how can a side like Richmond not turn up to play? And you've got the coach saying it, and you've got Bashir Hooley saying, we didn't turn up to play.
And KB,
God's sake.
Once again, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but inefficiency, like 360 disposals, six goals. That's 50 touches for every goal. I know they kicked inaccurately, but they do mess around with the ball.
Richmond?
They? Yeah.
Well, a lot of action with the Tigers, very little scoring.
50 possessions per goal.
I know this has been a problem with the Tigers. It was a problem last year till they got it right. Mm. And then for some reason, they fall back in this really bad habit where it's all about possessions. And it's not about going forward. See, watching the Bulldogs yesterday, they were fantastic, Terry. I mean, when they got the ball off that half back line, it wasn't let's kick it backwards to the back pocket, let's go a little, you know, tempo football across the ground, let's find that loose player. Johannesson, Lin Jong, all those guys out of the back line. You know, Talia, what a great game he played. They just charged out of the back line.
It was like a 100-metre sprint.
Eastern Wood, they just charged with pace.
It was roll the dice.
Going forward.
There's a few teams playing, you know, Port have sort of shown that style of play as
and
well.
Did it over in Adelaide. I was
counter-attacking style of play. It's risky. I mean, you know, if you turn the ball over, you're in dreadful trouble. But they've got skillful players, and we spoke about Murphy. You know, he's so good with the ball, and so are a lot of those other guys. I'm very impressed with Johannesson. Whether it's sustainable over a longer period, I'm not sure. But against Adelaide, who have been winning games with a really strong forward press, this is the way to beat Adelaide. It's just to run at them.
I think it's sustainable. You've got players playing that same, grabbing the opportunity, you know, grabbing that opening, you know, taking on the opposition, going forward. I mean, there's nothing worse if you're a defender and you see players charging forward with the ball. Where do you go? I mean, you've got so many options where your opponent can go left or right or up the ground or sideways. You just don't know where the ball's going to go because these guys are charging at you.
And it is sustainable because they're charging at you defensively as well. So it's not just that we all talk about the downhill skiers and the forward offensive running. They're running as hard defensively to cut down the opposition as well.
Well, they had 71 tackles and prior to that game, they were number two in tackling behind Adelaide. So I haven't looked today, but they're probably right near the top.
We'll come back and fly through all of our callers. And Bernie's got to be the first cab off the rank. We've got a break coming up, Sports Central, and then back with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake. Gazelle is always brought to you by InSport Promotions. They've got all your team wear needs covered. Now, sublimated basketball uniforms, softball uniforms, netball dresses or cycling jerseys, and Knicks workout tops and polos. Also, they've got coordinating bags, caps, water bottles, track tops and pants. All branded with your logo, so contact InSport Promotions today for all your team wear needs. Phone 8741 0000, 8741 0000, or go to insportpromotions.com.au. Australian owned, been in business for over 30 years. Now, Bernie joins us from Hoppers Crossing. G'day, Bernie.
G'day, how you going, boys?
Good, Bernie.
My view of Richmond is that we've got probably too many outside players and not enough inside. And then when they get the ball, they're afraid to kick it to a context. Let Riewoldt and Griffiths try and win the game.
That's an interesting point. I always feel that for some reason we do lose confidence in our key forwards. We see a lot of sides losing confidence in their key forwards. And I think Richmond at times should be more direct. And if you've got Riewoldt down there and you've got a Tyrone Vickery or you've got a Ben Griffiths, you know, there's nothing wrong in kicking it to them and saying, listen, you win this contest. If you don't win the contest, don't let the opposition mark the ball. And then we'll get our smaller players who have been following the ball down. They'll get at the foot of the pack and they'll fight like crazy to win the crumb and see if we can make things happen. Get it closer to goal. At least go forward.
Martin, have they been too reliant on, say, let's call it the big five or six players at the club? Those top...
Koch and Delidio, Riewoldt.
Martin, yeah. Rance. Yeah. Those five or six guys. And it all seemed to be built around the fact that that's going to take us forward. But they just don't seem to have had the depth of secondary player come up to a level that other clubs have.
Yeah, possibly a bit of a depth issue there. You know, in terms of the caller said about inside players, I mean, Brandon Ellis can win the ball inside, Cochie can win it inside, Dustin Martin can win it inside, so they're not too bad in that area. Maybe Nathan Foley comes into the side, KB. He was very good in the VFL on the weekend. He can at least add some pace, but it's a bit of an issue with Griffiths maybe going out of the side. What do you think of Vickery coming back in?
Well, he's got to come back in if Ben Griffiths goes out, so look, it's an opportunity that maybe he wasn't going to get. Unfortunately for Ben Griffiths, he's done a calf, so he'll miss at least 1 week, maybe even two or three if you've got a calf muscle. So, look, it's an opportunity for Tyrone Vickery to come back into the side. They seem to have lost a bit of confidence in him since the Cox incident. Couldn't play in any of the finals last year.
And Foley's comfortably good enough to be in the side. He's just his body's let him down. That's the only thing with him.
It just strike me as a sort of a middling, you know, borderline final side. Might make it, might not sort of thing. That's the way they look to me.
Gary's from Roxburgh Park. G'day, Gary.
G'day, boys.
G'day.
Listen, I haven't got a problem so much with the players or Hardwick. I think he's on the right path. I've got more of a problem with the supporters. I was there Friday night in the rain watching. At the start of the last quarter, they decided to start leaving. As soon as Melbourne kicked a goal, they want to leave and then they want to find excuses. Give them a chance, mate. You know, I'm 50. Yeah, mate, I'm not a good doctor. I've got no patience. But I still follow Richmond. Mate, all these people, I reckon lock the gates. Ring up the AFL, start a petition. Lock the gates. You're not allowed to leave whether you win or lose it.
Actually, people did tell me that I watched the game on the telly. I went to a 70th birthday party and came home and watched it in the early hours of the morning. But those at the game, Gary, Tom, it was like a fire drill.
Everyone was just pouring out
of the ground like a fire drill. So come on, Tiger fans, be a bit tougher than that. Steve is in Cranbourne. G'day, Steve.
G'day, how you going?
Good, Steve.
That's good. I just like to talk. I went to Anzac Day. It was really, really impressive. Collingwood's game, and I'm very surprised that we beat Essendon, and we proved a lot of people wrong. And just another thing is, we've got Geelong and we've got Carlton, Geelong, and Richmond coming up with those three teams. I mean, I don't think Carlton and Geelong and Richmond are in the best form at the moment. So I reckon Collingwood can go into a bit of confidence coming up with those games.
I certainly agree, and a lot of people were in absolute complete doom with where Collingwood were at.
I didn't have him in my top eight.
The exposed form of them over the first 3 weeks was difficult to get a handle on because they played two lower sides and won, but when they played a decent side in Adelaide...
Adelaide smacked them.
Adelaide smacked them, so it was actually very difficult to get a line on them. Actually, when they play good pressure footy... They're a good side when they drop off that pressure. When they drop off their pressure skills, they're not quite the same side. I thought they handled the conditions far, far better than Essendon. Essendon wanted to play dry weather football, overpossess the ball. For marks that they were never going to take. I just thought they played honest footy.
I find that amazing. I've heard a few Essendon people say that, but surely that would have been addressed at half-time, quarter-time by the coaches, because it was very obvious.
You can address it, but it still has to be something that's
instinctive.
Gets through them and not in their DNA. Yeah. Look, I think Essendon are a better dry-weather team than what they are wet-weather. If you look at their outside runners, guys like Merritt, Collier, guys like that, they want to run and carry. You look at the spine that we spoke about so good last week, they're all... mark and kick type players, and they just didn't handle the conditions at all. And that's not taking anything away from Collingwood, who I thought were absolutely magnificent.
I'm just going from memory, but I've got a feeling the Bombers had about 80 or 90 more possessions.
They did.
100, I think.
Well, I knew
just,
it was...
Yeah,
knew
just,
it was,
nah, just under 100.
Yeah, it was creeping up and creeping up and creeping
420
up.
To 338.
Well, that just goes to show you that the pure possession number doesn't mean a hell of a lot, does it? Because if you have a huge number of possessions as a team, often it'll just reflect the fact that you're flicking the ball around.
Well, wet weather footy, and they've had over 50 more handballs, Essendon. Handball and wet weather doesn't go so well together, particularly when you're getting pressured like Collingwood did on the weekend.
And Collingwood's still playing KB without Reed, side bottom. Lockie Keefe and Josh Thomas, we know, are out waiting for their, Asada situation. So there's a bit of depth there and a few kids to come.
Collingwood's run to their bye in round 12. People are suggesting they could be 11-1. They're saying Carlton, Geelong, Richmond, Gold Coast, North Melbourne, Melbourne and GWS. So the Pies could be 11-1 by the time they get to the bye.
Collingwood!
Don't forget, Hiko's got a very special deal on for the months of April and May. Eco Garage Doors will be donating $200. That's right, $200 from every insulated garage door sold to your nominated sporting club or charity. Now, we all have a charity close to our hearts, so, or a local sporting club. So it's your choice, and Eco will send them $200. So give Eco a call for a free quote on 9703-1500. That's 9703-1500. Or you can visit them online at www.ecogaragedoors.com.au. And you can see their exclusive garage door profiles and super smooth motors. Now, we'll take a break. We're coming back, of course, with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake.
Blazers there. DeBoer grabs it, gets rid of his man. They're out and going. DeBoer's up and going. So too Hill. Has a bounce. Closes on 60. Chips over. Pavlich marks on 50.
Bang.
From 55. Bangs it home. Pavlich kicks a goal. Big fly. Great fly. What a mark by the star. Glenn Cameron, group mark of the night. Give it to him now. Nathaniel Fyke.
Wow.
Canterbury says we've got to get it and go. He gets it to Grundy. He could go short to Rowan. He stood and waited. Punched away Everton. Taken by Mayne. Runs to 20. Closing and ices the game. Garrick Everton spoiled the footy and wins the game.
It's where we want to be. There's no milestone or breathing out here. That watch Melbourne on Friday night and they're really tenacious. They're going to be well rested and I'll breathe out tonight. And then, but tomorrow we're into it.
Of course, looking forward is Rush Lyon to Melbourne at half-time, 9-3 to 1-3, Dockers over Sydney.
Yeah, only one unbeaten team after four rounds. So it just goes to show you how everyone says it's even, but it really is. Look, we'll hear what Terry's got to say about this in a minute. I just wanted to throw this in. I have a query on Frio, and it's not a new one. It's just that whether they can score enough. Now, they kicked 11 goals over the weekend to beat Sydney.
Only two after half-time.
They've kicked... This is only a small sample, four rounds, admittedly, but 43 goals they've kicked this year. It's just under 11 a game. Last year, they kicked 13. They're number six in scoring this year. Last year, they were number seven. Ross himself has said in the past that you need to be really top four in defence and attack, you know, points for and points against. So I have that query on them. I think they can, you know, they can be shut down in a big final, and it's happened before. So maybe they've addressed it. They've got the spread of goal kickers. But that'd be the query for me on Freeman.
I think there was an example. I think Ross has played. Is it four grand finals now? Ross has been to.
Yep.
Very low scores.
I think the highest number of goals they've kicked, say in a grand final, was 10. I think that was in the drawn grand final, and the others have been like 9 and 8.
Yeah, very low.
So sides
kick many goals.
Sides are winning on being able to be really strong defensively in their back half, and even on the weekend, it was 12 scoring shots to 4. At half time, yet the inside 50s were even. You go to the first quarter where they set up their victory. Sydney had 53% of the ball in their forward half. Fremantle only 47%, but they won it off counter-attack footy. So Sydney were playing the ball in their half more, yet when you have a look at it, one side had scored twice from 12 inside 50s, going at 16%. That was Sydney. And the other mob, Fremantle, only had 10 inside 50s but scored six times from the 10. So one side scoring inside 50 at 60%, the other side scoring inside 50 at 16%. And exactly the same thing happened in the Hawthorn game. So your ability to defend or find a way, either it's offensively find a way through lower your eyes and be able to hit targets inside forward 50, or your ability to defend your defensive end, at halftime, when Hawthorn were getting flogged, they had had 33 inside 50s to Port Adelaide's 27. But one was scoring at 33%, and the other scoring at 59%. If you get any differentiation in the game statistically where you're over 20% better than your opponents, you're more than likely going to win. And both Fremantle set up their victory and Port Adelaide set up their victory by being able to counter-attack back off their defensive area better than their opposition.
You rate Fremantle, though, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think they're playing really, really solid football and playing some really good footy. I think they've got the best group of strong-bodied midfielders in the competition. We had a discussion. Ably led by the key being Sandilands in the middle of the ground.
He's a great ruckman, Sandilands.
Look, he's so big. I don't know why other sides just don't, you know, give up at the centre bounce, all those stoppages, and say, you know what, we just go into Sandilands all the time. But what they do is, you know, with Mundy and the likes of Fife and Barlow, they're all, you know, 6 foot three or 6 foot four. I mean, he doesn't hit the ball very far away. Sometimes I think he should, because he's got a clear hit at it. But he just keeps tapping it down to him. They have that tenth of a second more than their opponent because they're backing the fact that he's got to get his hands on the ball. Big bodies, they grab it. They're hard to grab straight away. They then handball it off and, you know, they'll get it to a couple of those running guys and away they go.
I think in the 2013 grand final, Hawthorn had Max Bailey, who was sort of on one and a half legs, you know. So, and against Sandilands, who was on fire, he dominated the prelim. So they worked out, you know, they worked out his patterns of where he hit and they tried to run there. And Sam Mitchell spent the whole game trying to run where he was going to try and disrupt.
That's clever.
Speak about Sam Mitchell and the Hawks. I think that other sides, Hawthorn, we know, are going to be one of the tougher sides to beat this year. people need to go and have a look at the first half tape. Now, I know Port Adelaide kicked some instinctive, brilliant goals. They were on fire, but they put some tactics in place against Hawthorn that were really good. Corralled rather than going too hard at their opposition. They corralled them. They wouldn't let the Hawthorn left footers get back onto their left side. What they did was they wouldn't let Hawthorn overlap. They made Hawthorn actually kick over the top of them, which didn't give them as much sharp penetration as what they've normally got. So I think there'll be a lot of coaches that will actually go back and have a look at the tape, because with that 33 inside 50s that they had, and then it ended up blowing out in the second half, the stats in the last quarter were amazing. But at half time, even though they had 33 inside 50s, it wasn't as pure as what it was, because they have to kick over the top of the corralling Port Adelaide players. Gunston had only touched it three times. Roughhead had only touched it five times, even though they had 33 inside 50. So they actually played as inspirational as what they were. They played a really good tactical game as well. And what about, I'll throw you these last quarter stats, KB, before we do go to a break. Eventually, Port Adelaide flooded all their blokes back and played the game in the last quarter. The game was just played in Hawthorn's part of the ground. Have a look at these for stats. Last quarter, kicks 68 Hawthorn, 39 Port Adelaide. Handballs 41 Hawthorn, 25 Port Adelaide. Disposals 109-64. Marks 31 Hawthorn, 12 Port Adelaide. Uncontested possessions 72 Hawthorn, 27 Port Adelaide. Inside 50s, this would have to be a world record. 28 inside 50s for the quarter versus 5. Gee, they were lucky to hang on, Port.
It was an amazing finish, really. I really loved that game because it was sort of tortoise and hare situation. And Port were gone. You know, they play a frenetic brand, and they put an enormous amount into it, and they were stuffed at the end.
Darren, give us a call back, and Bernie and Gazza, because you picked up a bunch of great prizes. Back after the break. A lot of North Melbourne fans just want to give Robbie Tarrant a pat on the back. They say he was fantastic on the weekend. They believe he's actually found his spot. Also, they want to know who's better, Todd Goldstein or Aaron Sandilands at the moment.
Todd Goldstein's been the best ruckman this year.
I reckon Goldstein, Terry, is almost the best player in the comp, other than maybe Nate Fyfe.
In the comp, the best player.
This year.
He's had a sensational start. He popped the finger last week. He was sort of double-handling the ball a little bit. Was still really good, but he's had three brilliant games and one good, solid game.
Well, maybe he can be the ruckman that wins the Brownlow medal, then, if that's the case, Todd Goldstein.
It's been a while,
hasn't it? Because Fife, again, got best on ground.
Mm. Tarrant's very important to North as well. Their SMSs are right. I mean, he's importance to them to have another strong body, and he can kick the ball really well for a big man as well.
He looked good. I know he's had interrupted pre-season, but he came on against the Tigers in that game out at Etihad in the NAB Challenge, and played very, very well. So in the meantime, he's obviously had a few problems as well. But
he gives him a bit more flexibility to players like Thompson as well.
Yeah. And you've still got the gangling Ben Brown galloping around with...
He's terrific, yeah.
Wade kicking three goals and Drew Petrie up there.
Congrats to Mick Malthouse from me too.
Next week.
Yeah, well done, Mick. Well done.
715 games.
I'm 57 this year, and I was coached by Mick Malthouse, so he's been around a while.
Go on, you player. We'll catch you next week.
See ya. Thanks, KB.
Go on, you gazelle.